all sorts of holiday activities and worship services will be taking place in the next few weeks here at Main Street. There are several announcements I would like to call to your attention. First of all, today is the deadline for those who wish to participate in the Parents' Night Out. So please make certain you fill out that application and you turn it in. There is a fee. The pickup will be at the Fellowship Hall. But do plan to bring your children to come and enjoy a Parents' Night Out, and plan for you to enjoy a Parents' Night Out. In addition to that, I would like to remind you of the Light and Darkness worship service. It is a service of healing. You will find that notice in the bottom of your bulletin in the announcement sections. And I do want to call that to your attention. I also want to call to your attention mission outreach that Main Street is getting ready to venture into. There will be an orientation session, and you will find it in the newsletter, but there is an orientation session this Tuesday in preparation for opening a crisis shelter for women and children who are homeless. This is going to be a real outreach of faith for us, and those of you who are able to participate, who are willing to provide anything from some hot soup and sandwiches to transportation to stay in the night while we have folks who are in our shelter. Please contact Kit Atkins in the church office, and if you absolutely cannot come on Tuesday night because you have a prior commitment, please let us know so that you can get on our mailing list and we can contact you for this very important outreach ministry. Many of us are aware of the financial hardships that folks are going through, but I don't think that anybody wants young children to have to experience this sort of horrible crisis that many, and we think, oh, that's Charlotte, that's New York, that doesn't happen in Greenwood. Oh, yes, it does. There are children who are in school, in our public school system, who sleep on the streets. Main Street is trying to reach out to make a difference. If you can, please contact the church office or Kit Atkins and let us know that you are willing to help and come to the orientation session. I also want to call to your attention, if you notice in the bottom of your bulletin, the communion candlelight service that will be on Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock. And this is always a casual service. Please come and worship with us. And then the combined worship service that will take place at 10 a.m. on Sunday, the 26th of December. And finally, there's going to be a staff drop-in from 11 to 2 on the 22nd. Come up to the church, tell the staff how much you appreciate what they do for us day in and day out, and enjoy visiting with the rest of the Main Street family. Now, let us continue with our worship service as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ. Will all those who are able please stand for the call to worship? Come away from haste and frantic busyness. This is the season for quiet waiting. It is hard to still our souls when we are so busy. It is hard to be patient with ourselves or others. Receive God's mercy and strengthen your hearts. A Savior is coming. God's love is near. We want to hear and believe God's promises. We want to become patient, loving seekers. God presents us with a high and holy way. Come before God now with praise and singing. We sense the joy God offers to us. Our spirits rejoice in God our Savior.
Please, in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. Mighty One, we rejoice that you strengthen our weak hand and make firm our feeble knees.
You open our eyes and unstop our ears. You meet our hunger with good things. You destroy our false pride while helping us discover our true strength. You topple us from our pretensions while lifting up the lowly to claim the inner power you alone can provide. We are assembled to worship you. Awaken the gladness that comes when we recognize your presence. We long to know you in this hour. Amen.
You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price.
Congregation and Reverend Martin, I present Caden Ann Swafford for baptism.
On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? Yes, do you say, we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Clayton in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
We will.
To the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and include Clayton now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the rest.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you sent in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and they who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in His final victory.
All praise to you, Eternal Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what is the name of the child to be baptized? Caden Ann Swafford. Caden Ann Swafford, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now it's our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Responding together, through baptism,
she is incorporated in the Holy Spirit.
Just got to see if there's something else on the back. I got to read it. You can have it back. Members of the household of God, I commend Caden, if I can, to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith and confirm her hope and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we love you.
Your newest member. Some of you will prepare a covered dish meal for her. Some folks will say she's not smart enough. We'll say, yes, you are. Some people will say, you're not pretty enough. And we'll say, yes, you are. The world will say, let me have her. We'll say, you can't have her. She's ours. She's a child of God. Amen. We're going to love her and nurture her and kiss her. They smell so good. This is ours. Amen. We're going to keep her. Wave, everybody. Yeah. She's singing Silent Night, Holy Night. This is our child. A lot of folks will say, give her to me. And we'll say, no.
She used to be loved and nurtured and cared for. There's nothing more precious in the world, is there? Godparents stand with the parents and honor in the same vows that they will be responsible if something were to happen to the parents, that they will take the responsibility that has been made in covenant today. You going to drop it? Thank you.
Let us enter into a moment of prayer. Holy God, this season of such expectation, a season that proclaims joy and hope and peace and love, we acknowledge that there is darkness in our world. And we are so thankful as a church and as your people that we are privileged to stand against the darkness of this world. That we are privileged to shine forth a light of hope. That we are free to tear down the walls of hostilities that separate us. And that we are at liberty to proclaim the way of our Lord. That Christ has come. And so, dear God, during this Advent season, as we journey toward the renewal of our faith, as we affirm afresh the hope that we have because a baby came into our world, lived among us, and died for our sins. We pray, dear God, that as we share this hope and affirm this faith in our own lives, that we will touch others with this same hope and renewal in life. For those of our church family who are sick and suffering, for those who are lonely and away from home, dear God, touch them. Be with those who have leadership within our church and those who have leadership within our nation. We pray for our bishops and for our president. And pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning offering. Ushers, would you come, please?
Almighty God, we give thanks to you for these gifts given from your faithful servants. Bless, giver, and give those who have not, those who chose not to give this day, that all that we do be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our Father, our Maker, our Redeemer, the Child of Bethlehem. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see so many of my friends up here. This morning, who remembers what candle Lucas and his family lit? Caroline? Joy, that's right. We lit the candle of joy. What are some things that make us really happy during Christmas time or bring us joy? Can you think of anything? God's birth, Cece? Jesus coming, that's right. Anything else? Anything else you might do with your family that's fun or makes you happy?
To decorate the Christmas tree.
That's right, decorate the Christmas tree. What about going shopping? Does anybody like to go shopping? Yeah, it's for toys. I went shopping with my good friend Miss Alice yesterday and we had such a good time, and you probably get to go pick out presents for your parents or your brothers or sisters, and that's always fun. Candy makes you happy, Hannah? Candy makes Hannah happy? There's lots of things that make us happy during the Christmas season, and the whole reason that we celebrate Christmas is because of Jesus' birth, right? Because it's birthday. And so when we think about being joyful and being happy, we want to remember that joy is something that God gives us, and he wants us to be joyful all the time, right? And so a lot of things make us happy and make us smile, but then we might feel sad. But God wants us to be joyful all the time. And so we celebrate Christmas because of Jesus' birth, which gives us joy. And what does Jesus and joy both start with? What letter? Sam?
J.
J, that's right. And so, what does this look like? Hannah's sort of already gotten into our stash, but what is this? What does that look like? What letter? J. And it's a candy cane, that's right. Well, the candy canes look like a J when you turn them upside down. And sit down. They also look kind of like a shepherd's staff when you hold them like a cane, right? And who were the first people to hear about Jesus' birth? The shepherds, that right. So when we see the candy cane, we can remember to have joy for Jesus' birth. And we can remember that the shepherds were the first ones that learned about Jesus' birth. And the legend of the candy cane, some of you maybe have read this book before. This is one of my favorite Christmas stories. But it tells about this man that opened a candy store. And he was telling a little girl about the candy cane and how it was a J to remind everyone about Jesus and about the shepherds making the journey to meet Jesus after he was born. So when you're decorating for Christmas or you're eating candy like Hannah, I want you to remember when you see the candy canes that we celebrate Christmas because of Jesus, and that he wants us to have joy in our hearts all year long, okay? And he also wants us to share that joy and share the story of his love with everyone else, okay? So let's say a little prayer, and I'll start and then y'all repeat after me, okay? Dear God, thank you for Christmas and your son Jesus, and help us to remember to have joy every day.
Amen.
Amen.
gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Luke. Begin reading with the 46th verse of the first chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Story was told about a lady who was in Los Angeles. She went into an ice cream parlor, ordered her an ice cream cone, and was sitting there on the stool when lo and behold, who should come and sit down on a stool beside her but the very heart throb of her life, Paul Newman. Yep, she was just like you. She was kind of woo. She didn't want to make a complete idiot of herself, so she just tried to be as normal as she could be and continue to carry on the transaction with getting her ice cream cone. She didn't know what to say to him. And so she handed the lady the money and received her change and put it in her purse and walked out into the street, realizing when she got in the street that she did not have her ice cream cone. So she went back inside and asked the lady if she could please get her cone. And the lady said, "I gave you a cone." And Paul Newman said, "Lady, you put it in your purse." Sometimes there are those things that just startle us. I'm very excited about this Sunday because this is the Canticle of Mary. And as we have shared with this in our worship team and have looked at this Sunday and this passage of Scripture and the themes that are prevalent throughout this particular Sunday and also through the Advent season, we think about those that are a crucial part of this miraculous story. And Elizabeth and Mary are two individuals that we think of during this season. Elizabeth, who was expecting a child, and it was John the Baptist. And Mary, when she received the news of her pending birth, she was so excited that they say that the journey that she made took her through desert places where there were thieves, that she traversed a rough, barren places, and she went from 3,000 feet above sea level to 1,500 feet below sea level. This journey that she made to tell Elizabeth what had happened. Whenever I come to this time in the Advent season, I'm reminded of those times when we were expecting a child in our home. I remember those times of anticipation. And I guess today the question would be that if you were told
that you are pregnant this morning, how would you feel? The excuses that you would begin to bring to mind, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have a husband. Those are the things maybe that Elizabeth and Mary were thinking. God does not come to us always at the time that is most comfortable for us. The scripture says, in the fullness of time, a virgin conceived and brought forth a child. As we think about our journey of faith and those opportunities that come our way during the year to respond to God's wooing, to respond to how God would be leading us. A story was told about a person who went out to the meter, and sure enough, the time had ran out. The red was flashing. I remember as a young boy standing in Greenville beside my mom, and the meter maid was coming down the street in this little motor car. It was a motorcycle in those days, three-wheel motorcycle. And mother was frantically reaching in her pocketbook, and a gentleman beside my mother says, "Do you need a penny?" "Yes, thank you." And she shoved it into the meter. Story was told about an incident similar to that, about the meter maid as she came by and wrote a note. "I came to your car. The time had expired. But in the spirit of the season, have a Merry Christmas." And she put the note under the windshield. It's a season that causes us to do good deeds. I heard that same transaction as it took place in the hallway the other day as we were giving out food to individuals, and someone said, "In the spirit of the season, receive this bag of food." In the spirit of love and in the spirit of giving, in the spirit of caring. I would also mention, as we think upon these two ladies, that there was another individual who does not merit being overlooked. And it was Joseph. Joseph who took on the responsibility of raising a child, not his own, and to provide for him. A young Sunday school teacher was talking to her class one Sunday, and she said, "I want you to write a note to God." Says, "I want you to write how you feel." And so a little boy wrote and he said, "Dear God, the church is so beautiful, and the candles are lit and the wreaths are hung, and it is such a beautiful place. I wish you could have been here." And so, as we think about this season of the year, this third Sunday of Advent, the proclamation that we proclaim as people of faith, can we say, God is here? Emmanuel, that God is with us. Or will we just say, it's so much pomp and so much circumstance and so many beautiful poinsettias and so many beautiful candles. It's truly a beautiful place. Wish God was here. Lady said that she went outside of the church to the side of the Nativity. Christmas joy had leaked out of her soul, and she was hoping to be able to find some Christmas joy, only to find that a street lady was there walking around and cursing and crying and cursing and crying. And she said, well, obviously this is not the place for me. So she came back the next night, only to discover that someone had stolen the baby Jesus. Again, she was rather distressed, and her Christmas joy was not restored until she walked around the edge of the church, and there sat that same street lady with the blanket that she had, and she had taken the baby Jesus and she had wrapped it in her dirty blanket and was singing to it, "Silent Night, Holy Night." And she said, as I stood there and listened to her sing, watched the tears roll down her face, I felt my Christmas joy restored. God comes to us in many wondrous ways. At the times, sometimes when we are not the most prepared. And we might say, I'm too young. We might say, I'm too old. I'm not of the right gender. There are all types of excuses. I wonder if there were other young maidens that the angel Gabriel came to and said to them, you are highly favored. And they said, not me. Not me. But Mary said, you have dealt bountifully with your handmaid. I am most blessed of all women. The rest of the world should call me blessed. And indeed we do. But the true joy of Christmas, as we continue to journey from this Sunday to the next, to the next, to the next, is to carry this message of the babe of Bethlehem, of humble beginnings to redeem lost humanity. This was Mary's song. Amen. Number 230 in your hymnal, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Receive now the benediction. May the one born in Bethlehem, who joined divinity and humanity, love of God and labor for people, unite heaven and earth in us as in him. Amen.